I want to introduce you guys to some of our friends.
Our friends.
That's right. And we have some awesome people who are going to be part of this panel tonight. And so if you are the guest of tonight, can you please come forward?
Can we give them a round of applause?
Give them a round of applause.
For our panel.
And as they're getting situated, let me pray for us as we begin our Q&A. For those of you guys, if this is your first Sunday, we've been in a series called Singleness, Dating, and Marriage. And we're actually closing it out tonight with a panel. And so we're going to be hearing from those who are married, those who are single. And we get to really ask questions that you guys have been typing in throughout the week. And we get to see the Lord work. And I'm excited for that. Are you excited for that, Ashton?
I'm very excited.
All right. So let's pray and let's get started. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful night you've given us, God, for believers to come together as your sons and daughters to hear our brothers and sisters who are on stage speak about their experience and their wisdom when it comes to relationship. And God, I pray that may you speak through them. God, I pray that may you watch over every single one of us. God, I pray that may you open our eyes and our ears and our heart to see and to hear and to experience your truth that is being spoken tonight. And so, Lord, be with us. We give this time to you. And every word and every relationship that's being formed tonight, God, may it honor you and glorify you because you deserve it. And so, Lord, we give this time to you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, so, friends, welcome to the Q&A panel. Is that what it's called? Q&A panel? That sounds good. That sounds good, right? May you do the honor of introducing yourself. Tim, you want to start?
Yeah.
Or the man sitting over there?
This is such a great panel, guys. Oh, my gosh. I feel like this is my family, a lot of these guys, so this is really great. My name is Tim Healy. And I'm glad that I can be here tonight with you guys. I'm actually married to my lovely wife, just sitting to my right here. And this is my, no, I'm just kidding.
Tim, we're the host. You're just supposed to answer all the questions. Know your place. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's it.
Hi, guys. My name's Kylie. Yes, Tim and I are married. We are the Healys. What else are we supposed to say?
How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 6 years, going on 7.
What's your love language? Ooh,
caught you off guard. What's yours?
Quality time.
We're perfect for each other.
Do you guys actually wear Heelys?
What?
Do you wear Heelys?
Oh, we invented them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Buy them.
That's awesome.
All right. This lovely couch over here.
Hello. My name is Pat Lawless. Can you guys hear me? I don't know if this mic's on, but yeah.
You got to kiss it, Pat. You got to, like, bring it really close.
Okay. Pretend it's your wife.
Right on, right on.
And there's a reason why I didn't take the middle seat.
We wouldn't want to be here for that. Yeah, my name is Pat Lawless, and, yeah, I go to Crossline Church. I've been married to this beautiful woman, Robin Lawless, for 28 years. Going on 29, right? Yeah, I remember that. It's important to get anniversaries right, just saying. So
that was a free tip. No? All right. There you go. There's your advice. Yeah, remember those,
remember
right?
Remember your anniversary.
One little advice.
And I'm Robin, and we have 3 children that are probably around the same age as a lot of you. We have twins that are 25 and then a 23-year-old. And they're all in the next phase of life where one of our twins has gotten married and our youngest son is getting married in January. Mm-hmm. So that's awfully fun going through that with them.
And my name is Grant. I'm the resident fifth wheel of the group. It's fantastic.
No.
So for all my single people out there that, like, get pulled into dates or pulled in, yeah, whatever it is, like, I feel it, you guys, let me tell you. So my name is Grant. I'm the high school pastor here. And yes, I am the token single person on this panel of love. That's what I am.
The love panel. Well, thank you guys so much for introducing yourself. You guys, this is just supposed to be a fun evening. So sit back, relax. Let's just enjoy each other. We wanted to do this because we just felt like there are some tough questions. There are some questions that as the church, like, it's our responsibility to answer how to have godly wisdom and practical application in it when it comes to dating or when it comes to relationships or whether we find ourselves being single for a season or if that's what God's called us to. And so we just thought, why the heck not have the coolest people at Crossline Church tell us a little about their story and just kind of answer some of the questions that we really want answers to. And so we're just going to start it off. Let's just go right in. Let's not go into the kiddie pool. Let's just go into the deep end.
Ooh, I'm down.
So our first question that got texted to us is, how do you know you're actually interested in someone instead of just feeling a desire to be loved? How do I know when it's right to try to ask someone out?
I have an answer to that question.
You have an answer? Yeah, I want to hear Pat's answer to that. No, you go for it.
Okay, I didn't really overthink this at all. I was super attracted to this beautiful woman, obviously. And so I pursued her. I asked her out. She was dating somebody else when I met her, so I didn't give up because she's so dang cute. I was like, I got to figure this out. So I didn't really look at it from that perspective. However, I think the way I see relationships now is totally different because we weren't even Christians when we got married. In fact, we didn't come to faith in Jesus until, early 30s, right? Somewhere around there. So I had a different mindset, okay? But when this is something that's super important because when you and your relationship with Jesus, okay, is healthy and you've actually received and personally received his love into your heart, then you can have the love to love other people, okay? Because the Bible says God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. So therefore, it's impossible to truly love people the way God wants us to without Jesus' love in our hearts, okay? So I hope that helps. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Does anyone else want to chime in on that?
I 100% agree with what you just said, Pat. So full of wisdom. I think a lot of times, especially in the Christian community, what I'm about to say is about to sound really weird, but I think it's true, so I'm going to say it anyway. We over-spiritualize things a lot, and I think that there's validity to that. I think that we need to use godly wisdom. There's 100% truth in that. But don't over-spiritualize something to the point of where you just, like, stop being a normal human and live normal life. If you like someone and you have fun with them and you connect with them, then ask them out. And I don't think that it needs to be more complicated than it needs to be. Obviously, use wisdom in that. If someone, isn't pursuing the Lord and that's the number one thing in your life, that's probably, use wisdom, and that's not going to be a good match. But I think that a lot of times we over-spiritualize things that we don't need to over-spiritualize when we can just use normal human wisdom and normal, how we would make other decisions in our life. So, I don't know.
I agree.
No, I think that's really good. Grant, I got a question for you, my brother.
Oh, boy. Lay it on me, Tom.
What hope does God offer lonely singles? How do you handle the fear of being alone?
Well, let me tell you, Tom, lots of cats, lots and lots of cats, and rom-coms and nights alone where you just cry yourself to sleep. That is like the best way. No. what hope am I offered? I think it's definitely one of those things where I, going through this season of singleness, have really leaned into it and tried to glean as much wisdom as I can about it. And one of the unique things about Christianity, as a faith in general, is the hope that it offers for singleness as an option to live out your life. It's not something, we in our culture, you will never see a movie that highlights singleness. Like every movie is geared towards love and relationships and the pursuit, whatever it is. Like, we do not celebrate singleness as a culture in America anyway. And yet when you really look at scripture makes a case for it as a Christian, that it's not just like, oh, it's just a season and you should just see it as a season. No, like, it's actually like the person that we worship, Jesus, was single. One of the guys, the one that I love to drop is the guy that wrote a lot of the passages of scripture that we read at weddings was also arguing for singleness, which is just great. You're like, wait a second, what? Yeah, it's great. And so when I look at just the Christian faith, it really does provide an avenue for singleness, not to just be something that's, oh, you're going to get out of it soon, or you shouldn't envy it, or you shouldn't want it. It's like, no, throughout the New Testament, especially, which is key. It is key that we have the New Testament to make this point or to have this hope. But yeah, singleness is definitely one of those things that is actually seen as something good. And it's seen as something viable, just as viable as marriage. So the whole thing of how do you handle the fear of being alone? That is a mixed bag. Just like anything else, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have days where it's just not even a thought, and you're just living your life, loving the Lord, and doing what you're doing. But then you're also going to have times where, yeah, like you're gonna catch that love itch or whatever it is, and you're like, oh man, I really wish. And so I don't think there's any way around that. But I will say, leaning into community and having people around you is super significant and super powerful. For those times, because just like anything else, you can get into your own headspace and you can just walk down a path that isn't good. So having people that you can go to and have those conversations with and just be real and be honest about is definitely something that I would say handling the fear of being alone. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Shameless plug. You should join a community group so you don't have that fear. but our next question that was given to us was, how do you approach a DTR, define the relationship conversation?
Oh, I want to hear this from Tim.
Yeah, let's go. Defining the relationship. Well, I think it's important that you guys have to kind of establish boundaries up front, right? So when you pursue someone, I think that it's most important that you guys are kind of making sure that you're on the same page about a lot of things, right? I'm first and foremost, like having Christ, if you know, making sure that Christ is a part of that picture. But then everything else comes along the lines, right? There's interests and making sure that you guys are on the same page. But at some point, there's going to be a time where you have to DTR, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you guys, if it's MySpace, MySpace or Facebook official, at some point you have to, I don't know, no one has MySpace here, so I don't know why I'm making
who's
MySpace.
Who's in your top eight, Tim?
But there was
did you
a
get
time
rid of
when,
Tom?
There was a time when you had like a top eight, you know, you remember that?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Did you get rid of Tom
one.
Or did or, you keep
yeah,
him?
Yeah, so it's important that you make that person on at least top eight. You know what I mean? Maybe
now it's like you're just friends in Instagram.
Before Instagram. No, but really, I think it's at some point you're gonna have that conversation of like, okay, we've been dating, we've been kind of hanging out, and I'm trying to figure out where this is going. So I think it's important that you use godly wisdom in that, and you guys have a conversation of okay, like. What are we doing? You know, do we take it to the next level? And so with that, you have to sort of define the relationship, right? So there's going to be that time where it's like, okay, are you my significant other, or are we just going to keep dating other people, right? And so I think there's that time after. If you guys want like a true time frame, I think it's like there's always like the 2 to 3 month. Time frame of dating, kind of figuring each other out, and then I don't know, figuring out if you're compatible, and then going from there, you know. So I don't know.
DTR. That's awesome. Robin, I got a question for you.
Wait, before
oh, yeah,
you
move, go I'm sorry, for it, sorry.
Does anyone else have anything to say about that?
Robin has.
Oh,
well,
go for it.
I was just gonna say we didn't have DTR didn't exist when we were dating, but we had a conversation like that. And I had dated a few guys prior to Pat, but I never really knew where I stood in those relationships. I always wondered, you know, is this the guy? Are we going to, you know, have a future? Are we going to end up getting married? Because that's something that I wanted as the goal to the relationship. But all those relationships just, you know, wasted away. So then along comes Pat, and he actually did have this talk with me where we sat down and he said, you know, I just want you to know that I really care about you. I see a future with you, and I hope you feel the same way. And that gave me so much security in our relationship, knowing we are wanting the same goals for our relationship. And I could be myself. I didn't have to try to guess, what is it that he's looking for? How am I supposed to act? I could just totally be myself with him. And then our relationship got even better from that point forward.
Way to go, Pat. Way to be a man.
Dang, Pat. Okay, Kylie. Well,
oh.
Do you want to say something?
I mean, I don't really want you to, like, put me on blast and, like, ask me a specific question. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, I think Robin's point, like, kind of is reiterating what Tim was saying about being on the same page and how that's, like, really important. And I think, too, when you go into dating, hopefully, there's intentionality there. Hopefully, you're not just, like, going into dating to just date around just to have fun. I mean, like, there's purpose to dating. While our culture will tell us that, like, that's what dating is. It's just, like, just to have fun, like, whatever. It's just, like, good to have a person or a companion or whatever. But hopefully, like, you're going into dating with the purpose of seeing this person as a, you know, person that you would potentially marry if that was something that, you know, was offered to you. So I think that when you are on that, when you're on the same page and you have that intentionality, like, that's when those types of conversations happen organically and naturally, and they don't feel like forced. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, when you're, ugh, that just sucks when you're like, I don't know where I stand with you. But I think even going, before you even get to that point, when you go into it with intentionality, like, then it makes having those conversations a lot easier. Because you're already knowing that, like, we're coming at this from the same point, and it takes some of the questioning out of it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that it's super important in any relationship you have to be honest with people, and especially anyone that you're dating, when you're honest with them about how you truly feel, okay, I think it leads to, like, great communication, and at least you know and the other person knows where you guys stand right now, okay? And be honest with them. I know that it's now called the DTR, but I don't know, you know, if...
What would you call it, Pat?
I wouldn't be, like, formal. I'm going to have a DTR, this thing. No. I think the guy's responsibility in a relationship is to lead that. Honestly, I do, because I think sometimes girls might be thinking, I wonder what he thinks about me. Does he love me? Does he like me? Where do I stand? I would like to know. Where the guy might just be thinking, obviously I like her, but guys don't usually say that. So it's important to whoever you're dating, be honest with them about where you're truly at.
And feel the freedom to, if this person is not on the same page, like, if they're not doing that, and you want that, like, being secure enough and knowing, that goes back to, like, the contentment question.
Right.
Like, being, like, okay with, like, this person actually isn't on the same page as me, and, like, that's okay, and that just means that, okay, well, that was the define the relationship. Like, this isn't going to work out. And being okay with that. Or when that conversation happens, if you're not on the same page, then recognizing that and realizing, okay, then this relationship or wherever this is, it has to come to an end.
I'll throw in just, like, the final tidbit on it, because we do live in an era now with online dating, which changes things up a lot. You know, prior to the old internet, people had to see one another in order for, like, you to make a decision about, like, oh, I kind of like this person, or I see this person, they got some great qualities. I want to, in the realm of online dating and everything, you it's a crapshoot. You don't know. Like, spoiler alert, people lie on the internet all the time. So they might put something on their profile that you think, oh, this is great. And then you go out and you meet them or whatever it is, and you realize, wow, they just lied through their teeth. And so I do think, you know, there is going to be a little bit of a cushion period potentially too, before you even get into that.
2 to 3 months?
There you go. Right. Just of understanding that too. Like, part of those first kinds of dates and whatnot aren't necessarily even going to be maybe of, like, I really like this person and I saw how great they are and I want to see if we can have something here. It could just be you're getting to know them. And so even then too, like, don't feel that pressure there within those first couple, I would say, as well, if you're online dating.
So speaking of that, this is really the main question. And so if you want to answer the second part and you feel as if you have enough knowledge for it, you're more than welcome to. But how do you meet people in a healthy way? And the second question is, how should I navigate online dating?
Obviously, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, I was just going to say church. Church is a good place to start.
It is a pretty good spot. I mean, meeting people, if you're at church, the likelihood that they're going to have some core beliefs or core things that you're going to share in common, much higher. You go to a bar, like scripture doesn't say thou shalt not go to a bar to date.
Right.
But if you go to a bar, you're going to lessen probably the odds there of finding somebody that's sharing your core. Like, it's not going to be as guaranteed. And so you just have to understand that, I would say, about where you're going to meet people. That'll change up. Like, how much overlap are we going to have before we have a conversation about Jesus?
Yeah, well, Robin and I met in a bar, and it worked out good for me.
So. Listen, there's always outliers on the scale here.
But no, God is so awesome because just Robin and I, you know, we didn't know Jesus. And really, it was like the typical, like, oh, my gosh, this girl's so hot, I have to date her. And so it wasn't anything spiritual at all. But God is so awesome because he totally redeemed our relationship, because as we're in the process of, you know, being selfish and messing up our relationship, God intervened in our lives and saved our relationship, and that's when we got married and came to Christ. So, you know, it's like in any walk of life, we're going to meet people. And God said, in order to fulfill the law, you need to do unto others is what you would have done to you, and love your neighbors, you love yourself. That's fulfilling God's law. And so we want to love everyone intentionally. And so it's possible to meet someone anywhere and, you know, you build a relationship with them. So I would ask you to pray and ask God to open your mind up to and open your eyes up to loving people intentionally, fulfilling God's law, and in the process, ask God if he would, you know, reveal to you someone that you could share your life with. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there's no reason not to start a relationship just as friends. There's nothing wrong with that. So it could be anywhere. For meeting someone in church, obviously, would be ideal. In fact, Robin and I started this young adults group, and how many people have gotten married in the last 2 years? It's been crazy. Our own, like, it's insane. Like, our twins that are 25, they met the girls that they're marrying in our young adults group. So that was a super awesome experience for young people to meet each other and get married. So it was great.
I was just going to say, as far as online dating, do you guys have any good advice? I mean, have you ever done any? I haven't actually ever done any online dating. I feel like I'm already old enough to say that online dating wasn't really around. Right. Well, kind of. I think Tinder had like just started around that time. So it's hard to give good advice. But I know that I have friends that just would just swipe right all day, and then they would just try to get, you know, matches. That was a strategy. I'm not giving you guys a good advice, by the way. I'm just telling you. That's the odds are actually greater. The more that you swipe right, you'll have actually better. Anyways, I'll stop.
That's really helpful, Tim.
That's really good. I think, okay, the first, how do you meet people in a healthy way? Well, like, it's not really about like how to meet people, because like Pat said, like, you can literally meet people anywhere. You hear those like crazy stories of like, oh, I met my, you know, significant other on a plane. And you're like, okay, that's right. So random. But it's more about like being a healthy person. Like, so like when you meet someone, you're actually healthy so that like you can have a healthy relationship. So I wouldn't focus so much on where I'm going to meet this person if I'm going to meet them, but focusing on like, how do I become a healthy person? How do I become a like more of a Christ follower, more like Christ, so that if I do meet a person, like I'm healthy so that I can have a healthy relationship. Cause you can't really have a healthy relationship if you're not healthy. Yeah. And the online dating thing, I mean, it kind of is, it's the same, I guess, in a way of like being in person. I mean, so much of our lives right now are online.
That doesn't mean it's like from the devil.
Yeah, and it's like, why would you interact differently online than you would in person? I mean, obviously there's going to be like, there's no, you know, face to face. So it is harder, but in terms of navigating it, I mean, you're going to look for the same type of person. Right. I mean, I think online dating is great. I have so many friends who have found like their spouses on online dating. So, and that's just the culture and age that we live in where that's a totally viable and awesome way to meet someone. But I think the same principles apply of like being a healthy person. So that, you know, if that's what you're choosing to do is to, you know, be online and find someone like that you actually are in a healthy space to be able to cultivate a healthy relationship.
Yeah. We know people that met online, got married, and it was all about Jesus, and it's still about Jesus. And people that had been married for 20 years, got divorced, and then met somebody who was more compatible as a Jesus follower. And it's been great. So, yeah.
Well, awesome. Okay. Next question is, can girls and guys be just friends?
Tim's got a good answer for this one. No, Robin, Tim and I were actually talking about this last week.
This is actually a question that came up quite a bit. Oh. We had actually like a fight, not a fight. This was a conversation that we had. We had a friend living with us for about 10 months. And she was living with us. And this is a question that came up. She's still single. And she was asking this question of, can guys and girls be can they just be friends? And I don't know. Like I personally think that it's possible. But think about it: when you are young, from a very early age, like in your kindergarten years into, you know, those first elementary years, you don't really have the concept. So it's more likely you can be friends with the opposite sex. But then as you get older, coming to junior high, and then you get to high school, you start learning about dating, things change a little bit, right? So I think, as I guess the way they answer it, one way is that as you get older, I think it's possible that you start to kind of flip a switch and have healthier boundaries. In terms of having opposite sex friends, because there's temptation, you know? And so even if you're dating or if you're married, it's very possible that you could be tempted from the opposite sex, right? And so I think it's just using wisdom that, okay, when you're dating someone, again, having those boundaries, healthy boundaries, that, you know, it's not okay to kind of see other people or hanging out with the opposite sex alone, right? Or even married. I think even more so married. But again, I don't know if there's disagreement. What do you guys think?
No, I totally agree that there have to be healthy boundaries. We have a huge friend group that we do a lot of life together with. We go skiing, we go to Hawaii, we have dinner parties, hang out together. But I wouldn't just hang out with one of the husbands. It's always like the husband and wife. We're always together in a group. It's just, I wouldn't be comfortable. The wife wouldn't be comfortable. So yeah, you just do have to have healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. And if you're both friends, and I mean, it's hard to have community. And sometimes, you know, you are just friends. It's a guy and a girl. You just have to make sure the other person knows that how you feel, that it's just a friendship, so that if the other person starts developing stronger feelings, mm-hmm. you know, you can maintain that friendship. So that's where it could get tricky when you're both single, just making sure that you communicate from the beginning that you just see it as friendship. Yeah.
But it's also possible to start a relationship, like we said before, as friends, and then it grows into something more romantic. Totally, totally cool. Yeah, so... yeah.
That's why I don't think guys and girls can be friends. <I'm just kidding. laughs> I mean,
when you're married,
I think that guys and girls cannot be friends in the same way that girls can be friends together or guys can be friends together. I just think that, especially when you're, you know, like you said, like you're single, right? And like, because you're approaching that friendship with a purpose of like, oh, well, I'll be your friend, but I kind of like you and I think you're cute or whatever at the same time. So you're already going into that friendship with some sort of like attraction, yeah, or expectation or hope or desire. And so I think that the boundaries thing is huge. This is like not a rule that I like, or what I'm saying right now, it's not something that I'm like, this is the absolute truth. Obviously people have different opinions, and people have friends with the opposite sex. But I just think that especially when you're single, it opens the door for so much confusion and, I don't know, like insecurity or even like, well, now this is awkward. Like someone likes me and now I don't like them. And now like, just the friendship will always change. It doesn't matter if you're friends with a guy, like you're, if you start dating somebody, that friendship will change. If he starts dating someone, the friendship's going to change. It's always going to change. So I believe firmly that the best friendships you can invest in and spend time with are friendships of the same sex, because they're going to be the most fruitful, I believe. Not that you can't learn and benefit from other friends, but like, it's just, I don't know.
Then you won't get stuck in the friend zone, which is bad because there's a movie called Just Friends. Has anybody ever seen it? It's really funny.
Choice.
Classic. Okay, like part two to this question, like you guys are talking a lot about boundaries. What is like a healthy boundary you can kind of put up if you are friends like with the opposite sex? What's a practical boundary?
Okay, like I'm friends with Grant, but I would... No offense, Grant. Love you. I would never hang out with Grant alone. Like, so when we hang out, it's in a group setting. And I think that's an appropriate way to have like friendships with people who are the opposite sex, is I would never hang out with someone one-on-one. That to me is very, that just would be inappropriate. That would be a boundary that I would put up. And I would even apply that. And I know this is maybe, this again is not everyone would agree. And I'm not saying that I'm right. And if you disagree with me that you're wrong, but like even in like business settings, I know a lot of times like in, if people have jobs where they work, and I know sometimes you can't avoid that, but like having lunch meetings and stuff with coworkers, like, or even just like lunch with a coworker, like that would be a boundary that I would even put up of one-on-one things where you just never want to put yourself in a position where you're potentially opening a door to like what Tim said, temptation. Or anything like that. So having like very strict boundaries of how you're hanging out and in what context, and group settings, I think are always a good win.
So we want to switch up the gear a bit. No, you're not. You're giving great content and you're a wise Kylie. Thank you so much. And so you do you. Thank you. But I don't want to hang out with you alone.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
So the question is, what does it mean to be content in my singleness? Can I be sad and content at the same time?
Oh, that's gonna be.
Bro, yeah.
What do you have to say?
Thank you. Great. I told you I'm the token single guy on the panel. what does it mean to be content in my singleness? Yeah. So it's very. I think it's navigating that line where, so this was great. I don't even know how long ago this was, but our church in general was doing a relationship series, and just all the different relationships. So it was based off of even what Pat said, the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so how do we love our neighbor in a bunch of different relational settings? And so for whatever reason, they decided that they wanted me and our middle school person here, Sarah, to deliver the singles talk together, which is like, what? Like, why would you have like a singles talk with a pair? I don't know. Anyways, it was great. But I think, so Sarah and I had to come up with a sermon for this message on singleness. And I think Sarah, she came up with a great line for us to give away. And the line was, to be content in my singleness is that I am okay being single, but at the same time, I am not going to just avoid relationships or pretend like they don't exist or pretend like that part of my life is off limits and I can't have it. And so I think contentment really is, It is a very, I would say, subjective feeling with regards to each person because it's your heart. You can look great on the outside with regards to how you're handling your singleness, and you could absolutely be 100% in sin in your heart because you're not content, or you don't believe or trust in the Lord's promises with regards to it, or you don't believe or take him at his word that singleness is not something that should be avoided or shouldn't be. And so it's tricky because you have not just this outward piece, but it's really going to be an inward disposition. It's going to be an inward part of who you are. And are you really okay with that? Are you really okay being single and trusting in the Lord that it's not bad, and trusting in the Lord that it can actually be good? That's going to be... it's going to be up to you to have those conversations. And it's what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, when he talks about, you know, search me, O Lord, and know my inner thoughts, know my inner person. And if there's any offensive way, reveal it to me. It's having that kind of a conversation, or being willing to have that kind of a conversation for it. And so I would say, though, content in my singleness. Here's the thing about singleness. It is not a wasted season. Because I would say that that's another part of this question, is it's not just that you are okay being single, but you have a call on your life. And that call on your life is the same whether you're single or whether you're married. And so being in a single season does not mean that you are worthless in God's eyes. It doesn't mean that you're not able to accomplish God's work in this world. And so if anything, it's what Paul talks about when he talks about singleness. Singleness is a season where you get to focus on the Lord and the Lord alone. It's what he says in 1 Corinthians 7. When you get married, you have a responsibility to your spouse. And Paul lays that out in Ephesians 5, where it's like, husbands, like, your job, you are to present your bride blameless, holy and blameless before the Lord. So, like, you have a pretty big responsibility as a husband in that. And wives, I'm going to say the S word, and you're going to be like, girls are going to submit. Like, you are called to submit and to come alongside your husband and to support and enable and accomplish the work together that the Lord has for you guys. But you're going to be focused on one another. And then if you have kids, you're going to be focused on your kids. And so then when you just think about how much time you have, like, your attention's going to be split. You don't have that when you're single. When you're single, you're able to focus on the Lord. And so if you're in a season of singleness and you're not focusing on the Lord and figuring out what ministry can I be doing, how can I be serving, I would say that you're not content. And I would say you're actually living in rebellion against the season that you're in. Because that's one of the things, that it's not a wasted season. You know, you don't gain the Holy Spirit when you get married. You gain the Holy Spirit when you make a decision to follow Jesus. And so you are able to do the same work that somebody that's married is. So contentedness, I think you can see that if, you know, you're just unwilling to go and do the work because you feel like there's no way I can do it.
Yeah, there's seasons in life, and every season is an opportunity to trust Jesus. So you could be in you could be dating right now and follow Jesus. You could be single right now and follow Jesus. And you could be married and follow Jesus. And, you know, people that are married, sometimes their spouse dies and then they're single again. So the Bible says, I've learned the secret to be content in all things, whether I have in plenty or in want. And it's Jesus. So he's the only one that could give us contentment, because I know a lot of people that are married that are miserable. I know other people that are married, like Robin and me, where we're super happy. Yay. But Robin's mom passed away, sadly, very sad. So her father was single for a while. And tell him real quick just what he did.
It was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, so sadly, my mom passed. She had a terminal illness, and my dad was just crushed. They had been together, I think, almost, a long time. And, you know, the kids were all grown from the house. He was lonely. So he started going to a grief support group, and he met a woman there who had lost her spouse, also to terminal illness. And so they were in this grief support group as friends for 3 years, and then my dad stopped going. He just felt like he had gotten to a place where he was over his grieving. and was in a healthy place to start moving forward with his life. Well, she owned a Dairy Queen in town, and my dad started going to the Dairy Queen, and then he called all of the kids, and he said, you know, there's this lady that I've met, and I wanted to know if that would be okay with you if I pursued a relationship with her. And I said, oh, Dad, absolutely. I would love for you to do that. So he sought the Lord's wisdom on whether he should do this at the season of his life. He was in his 60s. Right. And he did a Daniel's fast, and basically he just cut out certain foods, I think caffeine, alcohol, chocolate. And he did that over the course of 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, he felt very clearly from the Lord that he said, yes, I think you should pursue her. And so now they have been married for 15 years, and she's a lovely stepmom, stepmother. So it worked out very well for my dad that he was able to have two really healthy marriages.
But what was so cool was they both were pursuing Jesus because she actually wrote a letter to him and put it in the mail and said, would you be interested in pursuing, what did she say? There was a word. It was something like, would you be interested in pursuing a, you know, more intimate relationship with me? Isn't that cool? I think that's a step of faith, you know, and that's really cool. So the bottom line is they both pursue Jesus out of that tragic situation. So whatever season you're in, man, God has you there for a reason. Pursue the Lord, and God will do the rest.
Thank you so much. We have just a few more questions. This one is keys to sexual purity in dating. I said it with a question.
Dating?
I think boundaries are another. Boundaries are so good. If you think boundaries are bad, then no, they're good things. The Lord gives us boundaries.
Yes,
he gives
he does.
Us like context in which to live the best life, you know, and that is true in our dating, in pursuing sexual purity in our dating. So boundaries, and like really practically, like I've kind of mentioned, but like hanging out in group context, like not putting yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Like, don't hang out with your significant other at 2 a.m, like in a dark room or like somewhere. Like, just don't do that. You're obviously setting yourself up for like nothing good to happen. Like, nothing good happens after 12, you know, like our parents used to say that. And like, it's so true. Also, like, I'm asleep. So boundaries are like huge. And just like, yeah, just putting practical things in place of where I'm not going to put myself in a situation that is going to be potentially tempting. So I'm going to, if this is something that's really a struggle for us in our relationship, then maybe it's best like we really pursue like knowing each other in our dating relationship in the context of a group. And if we can't, like, you know, whatever. So you just have to figure out what works for you and your relationship and be on the same page. I think that that's, we've like, those are like two things I feel like we've talked about a lot. Tim and I talk about a lot, but like, boundaries and then being on the same page. Like, if you are on one page of where, you know, your idea of what sexual purity means and your person you're dating is on a different page, that's just not gonna work. And so making sure that you're approaching that and you're in a relationship where it's like, we're coming to this to the best of our ability. Of like, we want to be pure. We want to follow God's word of what that means. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there's temptation and struggle, and that's real, and that's okay, but we're going to do our very best to avoid these things. So we're not going to put ourselves in a situation that's tempting. And then just knowing like there's grace and forgiveness.
Totally.
There's so much grace and so much forgiveness, and that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, because I was going to say something super wise that was going to blow your mind away. Sorry. What was I going to say?
Pat is actually one of our elders at the church.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have any questions.
I think it's important to be honest with God about your temptations, okay? God invented sex for marriage, and it's good. It's not bad. So the devil tries to corrupt what God made good. And so the devil can't create anything because he's not a creator. God's the creator. So he created sex for marriage to make it special, intimate, awesome. Do you see what I'm saying? And so be honest with God about what you're struggling with because he understands your temptations, man. So there's no secrets with God.
And so being honest with him about that will empower you. Because if when you're honest and get it out in the open, then, you know, that's a starting point. Do you see what I'm saying? Because our culture is so over-sexualized, it's just made it so weird. And it's good. And that's what makes me sad for people that are single, because they want to honor the Lord. But, you know, God wants us to honor the Lord with our bodies in marriage relationships too. And it's possible, and this is something, I had this conversation with my son who recently got married. And he came to me a few times, we talked heavy about some really tough stuff. And I said, you know, the fruit of God's Spirit, one of the fruits of God's Spirit is self-control. And I said, when I was younger, I had a problem controlling myself. When people made me mad, I'd punch them in the face. I did it all the time. But you can't do that. It's not right. Anyway, so fast forward, my son had a similar issue, okay? Self-control problems. And I said, do you think when you get married, this self-control problem is going to go away? No. It might even be intensified. So why don't you deal with your self-control issue now? Be honest with God about it. And I'm talking about in the area of sexual purity, controlling yourself now. Because when you get married, I said, do you think you're going to be tempted when you go to the gymnasium and all these beautiful girls? You see what I'm saying? There's temptation everywhere. Learn self-control now as a single person. When you get married, you'll be able to bless your wife or husband even more.
That's so good. And I feel like this is a topic throughout the night, right? Healthy people make healthy decisions, and they're in a healthy relationship. And for us, how we define healthy is we need to work on our sanctification and our boundaries and where we are with that. And so the question that I have for you, should this be the last question, Ashton?
Yeah, that can be the last question. I just wanted to give a little shameless plug.
Go for
it. You guys are wanting to like read, if you guys are readers and you're like, I really want to understand boundaries more from a Christian perspective, there's an awesome book actually called Boundaries by Henry Cloud. I highly recommend it. It's awesome. It talks about all different types of boundaries, emotional, mental, boundaries with your family, anything like that. And also it touches on relationship boundaries as well. So that's Boundaries by Henry Cloud. It's an awesome read. It's super easy. I would really, really recommend it if that's something you are wanting to go into.
That's great. And just to go into that too, just briefly, Dr. Henry Cloud is not just an author. He is today's leading psychologist who's Christian. And so a lot of the things that he's talking about in his book has to do with psychology and how we think and how we can view that in a way that is biblical. And so I echo what Ashton just said. And so this is the last question, and I think this is something that all of you guys can answer, because I believe that all of you guys are in a relationship, friendship or married or whatever it may be. The question is this. Ooh, I just lost it. There it is. Yes. How do you fight well or deal with conflict in a relationship?
Okay, the secret the secret to conflicts, okay? Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I said, do you punch them in the face? Is that the way?
The secret to conflicts, okay, is to win. You have to win. I'm kidding.
Wait, what is that again?
All I do is win.
Play that when you fight.
You guys think I'm joking around, but I seriously am kind of not really. But let me just share something. I grew up in a family with 6 children. We were born 1 year after the other, and I was the 5th. So when I came out of the womb fighting, man, I had to, like, fight for food, literally. We had to go to our neighbor's house to ask them for food. We were so poor. I'm not joking around. So there was fights, there was conflicts, and because my dad was an alcoholic and left the family when I was 5, man, I was on my own. My mom had to work 2 jobs, so I had to fight to get what I wanted, okay? And so arguments, to me, was about winning. And I'm not saying this is good at all. This is bad. But that's how I grew up. When I got married, when we would get in arguments, for me, it was 100% attack mode, man. I got to win this fight.
You're at sales.
And it was so unhealthy and so bad. But you realize, man, that God is so good, he's able to redeem even your stupid comments and things that you say that might hurt people. So when you're trying to win a fight, you're going to say things that you wish you didn't say. So I have a philosophy now that I'd like to share with you. And that is, it's more important to do what's right than just to be right, because that's all about pride, okay, and self-centeredness. So when Robin and I are in disagreement, I disagree with her, so I...
So you win.
That's probably right. No, but seriously, I have tried to learn how to control myself better. When it comes to
I was just going to say, I think it's just being aware of the different conflict styles. So I think there's four different type of conflict styles. There's, I think if I remember correctly, there's two that are more assertive. One is like avoiding. There's the avoiding conflict style, right? You're just kind of, if there's any kind of conflict, you're just like,
run away.
I'm out.
You sweep it under the rug.
And then there's, yeah, you're running away. The other one is more accommodating. So this, again, this is kind of in that same mode, but you're just sort of, if there's a conflict, you're just like, you know what? You win. You know what I mean? Kind of like you're the fighter. You win, you know. Yeah. And then the other two is there's competing, which is kind of like you were talking about, and then there's collaborative. So there's like four different conflict styles, and really knowing the type of conflict style amongst each other, not only just relationally with your spouse or your dating partner, but even with friendship. So understanding how, you know, relationally, you guys work, you know, when there's conflict, how to, you know, resolve those things. At the end of the day, the core of it all is going to be compromise, right? So there's going to have to be some sort of compromise in the middle of the core of it, right? So I think that's kind of what I would say about the type of conflict styles. Now, real quickly, I'll say just like practical advice. When there is conflict, I think, again, depending on the style, you might just like need time to decompress, right? You're just like, yo, I need, give me a week. I'm out. And like one person's gonna be like, wait a second, yo, like we need to figure this out right now. What's going on? And I would say that make sure you fight well and remember what the point of the relationship is.
Right, exactly.
Right? I was gonna say, when you argue, make sure you guys do it face-to-face. I think the tendency now is we do things through text messaging. And I'll tell you, Kylie and I have had some arguments, or I should say, there was like a ignition, there's like a little flame that started a couple times. And I remember texting, I'm like, yo, we can't text and fight. You know, it's the worst. So if there's some sort of conflict, handle it like an adult and actually call someone. I know that's hard for us to hear, but actually call them or meet face-to-face. Don't do it via text message. That is the worst way to handle conflict. And because, again, that's a whole nother question, but texting, that's a whole nother language, right? We can read a text message a million different ways, right? And so we got to include an emoji in our text messages. That could be, anyways, so fight well, argue face-to-face, and just remember, you know, at the end of the day,
what the goal, you know, is,
what the purpose
in
is
the relationship.
You're on the same team, so yeah. And it's gonna grow. You're gonna grow stronger. That's the end goal.
Right. Know? Even in the worst possible conflicts, where you wish you could just take back everything you said because you feel so bad about what you did say, is an opportunity to develop a more intimate, awesome relationship. And that sounds weird, but it may take a week. It may take a month. But when you mentioned this on the car, when we were talking about grace, like, how to have grace in relationships. Just share it real quick. It's basically just about you have to have grace, you know, even in conflicts.
Right, yeah. Always be ready to say you're sorry. Sometimes even if you don't feel like, if you feel like, oh, I really was in the right here, sometimes just saying you're sorry is better. And the other person has an opportunity to think about things, and then they probably will come to you and realize that, oh, you know, you were right. I'm really sorry. And to be quick to forgive and just, oh, I remember. Yeah. Just remember that you are not perfect, so don't expect the person that you're arguing with, whether it's a friend or someone you're dating or your spouse, that they're perfect. We're flawed people. And we have to have grace for each other and realize that. And realize that when we argue, I know he's not, he has good intentions, just like I have good intentions. And I have to remember that like Tim's saying, we have the same goal in mind. It's just sometimes we get in disagreements about how we're going to get there. But if I always remember that Pat has good intentions, he's not trying to hurt me in any way. Mm-hmm. He doesn't realize that he's hurt my feelings. You know, I've probably said things to hurt his feelings. It really helps resolve conflict. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Can we give it up for our panel and just thank them for their wisdom? You guys can go ahead and have a seat if you want to. You can leave. Oh. Get out of here. Get lost. Well, that was our relationship panel. I really hope that you guys learned some just wisdom and just a little bit of knowledge and just some practicality when it comes to relationships, whatever that looks like for you. And really the heart of this whole series was just to help us grow in wisdom and understanding, because we are meant to be in relationship, whatever that looks like for us. God has made us of people of being in fellowship and community with one another. And I was just praying this with our volunteers before that. This is not just knowledge that you hear for this 5 weeks and then it just goes out the door. This is stuff that you can take for the rest of your life. And I really hope that this is just implemented in just the way that you live your daily routine and lifestyle and your habits, whether you're dealing with a conflict romantically or with a friendship, or you're pursuing certain relationships, that you remember what these awesome people said, what we've learned over the past couple of weeks, and that ultimately God is on your side and that he is your best resource for any sort of wisdom, and that this church is here for you, and we want to foster a place where we can have tough questions and have it be answered from a godly and biblical perspective. And so we just felt like that it's necessary that we just bless one another, but also bless you guys, bless this community, and commission us into just creating a new standard for young adults in Orange County, and also just these next generations of being people of healthy relationships and marriages and singleness. And so with that, we're just going to pray over you guys, just a blessing. And that will be the end of our night. So
can I say something?
Of course.
So those wise people that are sitting back there, they're brothers and sisters. They attend this church. And so, you know, if you call Crossline home, then you're part of the family and you have a place here. And so reach out to them. Say, hey, I really want to maybe ask you about this or that. Or say hello to them now that you've heard them speak, because we're a family here. And so don't just think that, oh, they're just people up there and they just have knowledge and they're just done with. But no, these are people who actually have sacrificed time and energy and relationship to be here and to serve our body. And so, just wanted to say that. That was in my heart.
No, that's great. And me and Thomas are always available for you guys as well. So with that, Thomas, how about you pray? I'll just close this out.
Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this night you've given us. Thank you so much for Robin, Pat, Kylie, Tim, and Grant, for them to spend time with us during our service here tonight, God, answering questions that we have when it comes to singleness and dating and marriage. And so, Lord, I pray that as we continue to navigate, as we continue to understand what it means as we are in either of those three categories, God, I pray that, one, we may pursue righteousness, your righteousness and your promise and your truth that you have for us, so that as we navigate relationships in our lives, God, that it will naturally flow out of your love and what you have done for us, Lord. So, God, I pray that we'll be not just people that are just more informed, as Sergio said this morning as we were worshiping, that as we continue to leave and to continue our night, God, I pray that we'll be those whose perspectives have now changed, so that we can walk out, we can actually live out the truths and the things that we've heard in a way that is healthy, biblical, and loving. And so, God, be with us and watch over us. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.